Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what he said and wondered what this greeting might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. I think I'll speak from the pulpit here, since I'm a little suspicious about the mic today. It's difficult for us not to conflate the morning Mass with the afternoon and evening Mass and the Masses tomorrow morning. It feels like Christmas. I mean, the creche is here, the people are rejoicing, your decorations at home are up, you bought all your gifts, and I know you bought all your gifts for Monsignor, so thank you very much. That's all done. So we're into the spirit of Christmas already. I know it's Advent, but it's difficult to separate these two. They're so close this year. So let me speak a little bit about the incarnation announced today in the Gospel of Luke and a celebration of God's presence in the season of Christmas. The older I get, the more time I have to be quiet. Quiet time comes easier when you get older. And the more I begin to understand what Karl Rahner wrote in his wisdom years, when he said, "In the torment of the insufficiency of everything attainable, we come to understand that every life is an unfinished symphony." There's a place you come to in life where you begin to understand that everything this world can give you will not satisfy the yearnings of your soul. Sometimes when we're younger, we are busy doing so many things, we don't pause long enough to reflect on the hungers of the soul. It causes us to take a second look at the manner in which we understand ourselves and the manner in which we understand the journey of life. So let me look at this and wonder with you if I can say something that might be meaningful or helpful in our journey of life. We are celebrating an incredible statement in the history of humanity. God became human. You'll find it no other religious persuasion. God entered our humanity, took on our flesh, took on the journey of life, belonged to us, understood us, blessed us. And when Jesus is born in the incarnation, and then when Jesus is born, he sanctified all humanity. He sanctified humanity. He elevated humanity to a new level of understanding. Therefore, to be holy is to be fully human and to live in the presence of God. How to be fully human and walk in the presence of the living God? That's holiness of life. It has nothing to do with perfection. I live in the presence of God. I live in the presence of infinite love given to me in the incarnation and birthing in our celebration of Christmas. It's an amazing possibility for us to live our human condition in the presence of the living God. And therefore, in the birth of Christ, he sanctified all of humanity, elevated humanity in contrast to inhumanity. The New York Times this morning has a whole section of pictures of the last year. And if you want to see the abuse of humanity, the inhumanity of real life people, our people, you have wars, you have starvation, you have deprivation, you have homelessness. We live in a world of chaos where so much of human nature is abused in inhumanity. The violence of war, the vice of greed. It's inhuman. It's an offense against the elevation of humanity given to us in Jesus Christ. Therefore, to be holy is to be fully human and to live in the presence of God. Let me give you an image that might emphasize this. I think it's an image I've used before. In ancient times, a person will go to the marketplace to buy a vessel for domestic use for the preparation of food. The unscrupulous seller, when there was a crack in the vessel, would cover it over with wax. The unsuspecting buyer, thinking he was buying a vessel intact, would bring it home, and when the fire was applied, the wax melted and the cracks appeared. The Latin word for wax is ceres, and the Latin word for without is sine. He wanted to buy something without wax, which is sine ceres, which gives us an English word, sincere. Sincere doesn't mean a person without cracks. It means a person without wax, without the mask of perfection, a person who is fully human with the cracks, embraced by infinite love. A few days ago, we had a penance service here, and I sat here and I heard the confessions of people, and they inspired me. The penitents inspired me. Not because they were perfect, but because they were sincere. Not without cracks, but without wax. And out of my own humanity, I could interpret the gift of their presence and the sharing of their lives. I could see the goodness in them. I could see sincerity. I could see possibility. I could see the presence of God in them. Sinners that they were, just like me. The only way in which I could interpret this as a sign of God's teaching is through my own humanity. For me to become inhuman, to presume I'm perfect, to make judgments, I would never have been inspired but it's the sincerity of people who are fully human. That's what Christmas is about. Henry Nouwen, in his delightful book, Clowning in Rome, tells this story, which is an ancient story. It's about a little boy who is wandering around one day, and he comes upon a sculptor who has a large block of marble. And the little boy curiously looks at him, but doesn't take much notice, and he passes by. Sometime later, a week or two later, he comes by, and where there was a block of marble, there is now a lion. And the little boy says to the sculptor, "How did you know that there was a lion inside that marble?" And the sculptor said, "Before the lion was in the marble, the lion had to be in me. And it was the lion in me that saw the lion in the marble." He saw something, the sculptor. The lion in him saw the lion in the marble. Michelangelo said as much. When he finished David, you've all seen David, 7 feet, 17 feet high, the beginning of the 16th century, way back then. When he finished this incredible masterpiece of David, he stopped and he looked at it and he said, "I saw an angel in the marble, and I chipped away to set the angel free." He could see. And here's the question for us. When we look around, when we gather with people, are we missing something? Is it possible that we're missing something? Can we see the lion? Can we see the angel? That's the meaning of the incarnation. God saw in us something wonderful, something redeemable, something extraordinary, a reflection of God's creation. God saw that in us. That's the meaning of Christmas. And in the manner in which we live out fully our humanity, we will see the lion and we'll see the angel. Amen.